Thank you, choir. Good evening, everyone. Let's stand together. Take your hymn books, please. Turn to number 228. 228. If you be from sin or longing to be free, then look to the Lamb of God. He'll take care of you. Amen. 228. Here we go on the first verse. If you from sin or longing to be free, couple pages over to 232, another look song. Look, I have a message from the Lord. Look and live. Amen. We look to the Lamb of God. We're able to live. Look and live. On the first verse, I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. I have a message full of love. Hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above. Hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know. Time to shake hands with those around you, then we'll come back and sing that last verse together. Together, here we go. I will tell you how I came. Hallelujah to Jesus when he saved me whole. 'Twas believing on his name. Hallelujah. I trusted and he saved my soul. Look and live, my brother, live. thank you so much for the good singing tonight. You may be seated. And we have got a special, we spare no expense to bring these folks in from Cambodia to sing for us tonight. Amen. But I'm going to let Brother Donahue introduce them.
I paid it all. No. Jesus paid it all. Let's put it that way. Amen. I just wanted to introduce, this is Pastor Seha. S-A-Y-S-A-H-A, okay? He is, his wife, Soka, is there. Okay, I can't even hardly see her. They have two of his girls, Manesha, and I'm going to mess it up, I know it. Okay, anyway, two of his daughters, and his son, Obed. I could say that one, all right? And Brother Seha graduated from Landmark. He got his master's here at Landmark the internet. And he pastors, he also got his doctorate at our college in Burma. And I should call him doctor instead of Pastor Seha. But anyway, he pastors Capital City Baptist Church, Landmark Baptist Church, New Life Baptist Church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, and he oversees the Ashira HIV Center that we have in Cambodia, and he is the director, president, chief of our Bible Institute, New Life Bible Institute, and we've had almost 30-something, 40-something graduates from our Bible college, and then they go off and start churches, and then I got to go asking you for help, you know, to make sure we get the churches going. But I've asked them to sing in their language. You'll know the tune, and you'll get the blessing that I get. Thank you.
Oh, Family. It is always good to hear family sing, amen, and especially when they're singing about the love of God, no matter what language it is, amen. All right, we have our ushers coming down to see if we have any visitors. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to get a record of your visit. We just want you to hold your hand up high. The men will give you a card and a pen. You can fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, and we thank you for visiting with us. I don't know if we have any takers tonight, but we thank for everybody else being back. The flowers here in front of the pulpit, we're put here in honor of Michael Larson's, in memory of him. And again, he went on to heaven on August 15th in 2013. And appreciate the family doing that in his memory. Several announcements we want to make sure that we get to tonight. And one of those in the bulletin, if you didn't get one, make sure you get one. It just is reminding us that Pastor Carter is about to turn 90. Now, he said he didn't need any reminder. Amen is what he told me. Amen. And he wasn't mad that I reminded you, but we do want to honor him, and we'll do that on August 24th. And you may wonder why we're waiting a little while, and a lot of that is because they have an anniversary, and it's their 68th anniversary coming up, so we try to push it back a little bit and be able to put both of those together and enjoy that. But we do haven't had a fellowship in a while, so we will have cake and things for them to honor them, sing happy birthday to Pastor, and get him to blow out some candles and all the things that you do at a birthday party. But we want you to bring all the finger foods and all the things that we bring, because we want to have really a time of fellowship and enjoy our time with him. So make plans to do that on August 24th. It's in the bulletin. Make sure you get that insert. Got some good pictures. Pastor said we went way back to get some of them. Amen. And some of them are on there. So appreciate all that. You know, we can't do enough to thank the Lord for what he gave us in our pastor for 50 years and his continued service to our ministry and faithfulness. Amen. And so we want to be able to celebrate his birthday with him. And so we'll do that. All right. Half notes is next Sunday, August 17th. At 6:15, you can begin with choir practice for the half notes, and that'll be right here at the church and upstairs there. The children age 4 years old to fifth grade may participate, so we want you to get back into that, if you would, next Sunday. Our back-to-school revival is just around the corner, having different men. We'll put an insert in a bulletin about all the different men on the different nights. Now, don't be discriminatory and only come on certain nights because you don't like them, preachers. You need revival, and I need revival, and God can use a man of God to do that. Amen. So we're going to have you come out. I want you to be out each night. We'll do most of the nights down at the college chapel, but we'll do Wednesday night right here. And we're going to do something different this year. We're going to keep church on a regular time. So it might mess some of you up, but instead of changing the church time, we're going to have it earlier down there at the, on the, each night, but church is going to stay at the same hour. We're going to keep right on going, all right? So it'll be a little different, but we'll have a different man each night. It will be great if you allow it to be. Let's start praying now that God would work on our heart through the Word of God while He comes to the preaching of those men, and pray for those men to bring the right message, to bring revival. The way you have revival, you know how that works, right? You draw a circle and pray that God will give revival inside that circle. We can pray revival for America, but the person that truly needs to be revived is the person looking us in the mirror every day. Amen. And so we need to start there. Amen. Through prayer. So let's do that. Our care meetings will start back up on Tuesday, August 26th at 5 p.m. in the Village Chapel. And Brother Perkins will be heading that up. And so look forward to that. Pray for it and make sure you attend it. And then we have Bob and Sue Paulin are inviting the church to celebrate with them their 50th wedding anniversary on August 17th. That's next Sunday night after the evening service in the Village Chapel. And so I want you to be able to go down there and enjoy that with them. And so they're going to have all that. We'll give you a little bit more detail on Wednesday night, but we want you to do that. And that'll be following the evening service next Sunday night. As we turn our attention to the prayer list, I want to add one. Brother Russ Wilkie stopped me, and his wife did, and stopped me and let me know that he's having a test to follow up on that cancer that he had removed. And so let's pray together. Yeah, it's going to be on Wednesday that test will come back good, and that they'll, you know, the doctors will be able to give him some confirmation that that cancer has been removed and beaten and not in his body anymore. Continue to pray for those recovering from surgery, Wyatt Wooten, Barbara Auchus, and then pray for Dalton Maloney. Don't forget that we mentioned praying for him, but it's a cancer prayer, but also for salvation, primarily for salvation. So let's continue for his salvation. Pray for Norma Strickland, Ron and Kathy Martin's unborn grandson there, and then Cindy Bradford with the great needs that she has. We really are praying for God to have a miracle in her body and her life there. And then Juanita Ballard also with stage 4 cancer. And then we've mentioned it this morning, but if you weren't, thank you for everyone that brought something for the Hutchinson family and all of you that made the trip over there. They thank you very much for being there and showing up for Brother Hutchinson's dad's memorial, and praying for, and all of you that weren't able to go but prayed for Travis, did a wonderful job of presenting the gospel. Now we need to continue to pray for the family. Many of them, we've been praying for their salvation. Let's not stop now. Let's continue to pray for the family there, that in the weeks and months to come, that they'll come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Thankful for Brother Perkins being back with us, and when I come and ask him to pray for us again tonight, you remain standing after the prayer for the offering.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you, and Father, we want to thank you for the blessings we've received and the prayers that's been answered, and Father, we want to raise up these once again to you on the prayer list, Lord. We pray that you'll have your will and way with everyone, and Father, we ask a special blessing for these that are fighting cancer, Lord. We just ask that you touch their bodies and heal them, Father, and God, we know that you're the great physician, that you can do all things, Lord, and we just ask you to be. And Father, we ask a blessing tonight on the preacher as he preaches to us, Lord. We pray that you open our hearts and our minds and allow us to receive all that you have for us. And Father, we do pray for the revival and all the upcoming events. Father, we just pray that you have your will and way. And Lord, now we ask a blessing upon the offering, the gift, and the giver. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
much. You may be seated. Our choir is going to sing for us now. At this time, worship the Lord. Let's stand together again, please. Take your hymn books. Turn to number 394. 394, I need thee every hour. This is a prayer as well. Hope it's your prayer to get ready to hear God's word preached. Don't we need him every hour, every moment of our day? 394. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No indeed. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Before our message tonight, Sister Barbara Drake is going to come and sing for us.
Mankind is searching every day in quest of something new, but I have found the living way, the path of treasures true. I've discovered the way of gladness, I've discovered the way of joy, I've discovered relief from sadness. Tis a happiness without alloy. I've discovered the fount of blessing. I've discovered the living word. Twas the greatest of all discoveries. When I found Jesus, my Lord, I found the pearl of greatest price, eternal life so fair. 'Twas through my Savior's sacrifice I found this jewel rare. I've discovered the way of gladness, I've discovered the way of joy, I've discovered relief from sadness. 'Tis a happiness without alloy. I've discovered the fount of blessing, I've discovered the living water. When I found Jesus, my Lord.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you, Ms. Drake. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 6 tonight. Luke chapter 6. And many of you saw Brother Doug come and bring me a message tonight. And he let us know that Brother Brian Baker, Miss Anita called and let us know that Brother Baker has been, he's in the emergency room tonight and having some chest pains and would like for us to pray for him. Had some numbness in his arm. And so we don't really know the extent of anything, just got that early news that he's there. And so we ought to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him for that. So let's do that now. Amen. Dear Lord, we come to you and we just ask you and pray, God, for Brother Baker. We thank you for the miracle that he is and all that you've already answered in prayer to touch and heal his body. But God, we come to you again and we know that you're a faithful God and that you can touch and heal and help. God, we want your will to be done, but God, we pray right now that you just help the doctors, God, and direct them to be able to help him, Lord, or you touch him yourself and as a great physician and heal him and bring him up. Lord, I pray that you would do that for us. Lord, we ask that you might be glorified in what you do. Lord, help us to give you the honor, glory, and praise for what you do in his life. God, I pray that you be with us now as we open your word, that we as Christians, Lord, would be able to take something from it tonight, apply it to our lives, and grow closer to you because of it. We ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Luke chapter number 6 tonight, Luke chapter number 6, and I will give you the title. The title tonight is Being a Decisive Christian. Being a decisive Christian. I think every Christian should be decisive. We oftentimes feel like we don't like the word procrastinate. That means we fluctuate in and out. But I just want to remind you that faith is based upon the Word of God. We can have faith and we can step out in faith and decisively decide to be obedient to not just God's commands, but his wishes and direction and will for our lives. God wants not only for us to have a good, productive life, but he wants us to do that and him to get the glory for it. So tonight again, God wants for you to want what he wants for you. And oftentimes, sometimes we, and many times I'll just say this, we will surrender part of ourselves in salvation. I've said it over and over again, and sometimes I feel like I'm a broken record, but if people would be doers of the word and not hearers only, I wouldn't have to repeat myself. But oftentimes we come to the place where we will give God faith in our eternal destiny, but we don't trust him with this now and now. We don't trust him with the everyday. We can't trust him. I'll just go on and get it out of the way. We don't trust him with our wallet. We don't trust him with our families. Sometimes we think Dr. Spock knows better. And some of you in this age don't know who Dr. Spock is, so I'll go on and Dr. Phil, and I'm not talking about Dr. Phil that sits over here. Amen? Pitts, amen. Again, for most of us, we understand that there's no end to books. And now, those of you that never read and didn't understand people wrote books, now you can listen to podcasts. They stream it into your homes, and now if you're not careful, they'll just stream it in advertisements and tell you what's better for your family or what you should do or shouldn't do. And so being decisive, one of the things that the Word of God does for us and helps us is that when we are hearers of the Word, and we have decisively made the decision to be followers of Christ through his word, we can take action once we have his word on it. Most of us, oftentimes, we want to retain. Now, this is what we mix up. We mix up free will. All right? We mix up free will with God's word. All right. If God said it, we can take it to the bank. It is always going to show up true. It is always going to be what we ought to do. But oftentimes as Christians, we wait to hear what God says and decide whether we like it or not. The argument is over on whether it's good for us or not. The argument is over whether it is exactly what God wants in our lives. But oftentimes we sit in a place of indecision or derision, if I could say it that way, because we're not decisive enough to follow the Lord. That in Luke chapter 6, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I just want to remind you again, because I feel like for all of us, if we're not careful, we'll come to a place and we're going to get into it sounds like a long way away, but it won't be that long, and we'll be in a fall campaign. It won't be that long that we're pursuing people, and we ought to be doing that now, but I mean, there'll be a big push to pursue friends and family and first responders and all the people in our town and people that need to hear the gospel. But when they look at our lives, you know, a decisive Christian is somebody, well, God gave me direction and I'm going to do it. I want you to see in the scripture in verse 46, the Lord is going to look at those of the people that are around him. Now, I want to set the setting for you. There are scribes that have asked him, which, and we not too long ago preached on this patch of scripture, maybe in a different area there for you, but what is the greatest commandment? That is, you know, the question's been asked. They asked that. That guy's there. The scribes are there. The Pharisees are there. People who are indifferent, not sure, standoffish, but also people who honor. All right, honor him, respect him, and people who have forsaken their livelihood to follow him are in this crowd. And he looks at all of them, because in the other passage they call him Master, Master. In this passage they call him Lord. Look at verse 46. He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Let me just say this. The first thing he does, first and foremost, is ask a question. Do you know that teachers try to teach students on a regular basis by asking questions? Questions provoke us to come to answers in our own mind. Most of us would come to the right answer if we would think about the question. Do you know these folks had been just religiously following the Lord Jesus? Many of the others, and this is the sad part, is many of them believed in who he was as the Messiah. All right, there to fulfill the greatest need of man to come, and again, many of them didn't know how he was going to do that. They thought the greatest need of man was to throw off the oppression of the Roman army and to set up his kingdom, but the greatest need of man was to pay the sin debt of all mankind. And Jesus was here to do that, to seek and to save that which was lost. They believed in him in that way, but then they didn't know if they could follow what he said. Peter says, I'll follow you to the grave. And many of these men followed Jesus like he was a general. If you give the command, I'll cut the ears off of every man in the army. You give them the command and I will go forward and die in your service. But what? When he's really brought, instead of the fight was taken out of him when Jesus was about to be crucified and he had to stand for what he believed by faith. That he had put his faith in the right person. And he denied Jesus 3 times. Oftentimes on a regular basis, we'll come to church and we're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. But on Monday morning, if somebody asked us if we were a Christian, we'd be like, I don't know what I ought to say. Because we haven't decided the answer. Now, you say, that's not everybody. No. But again, it's easy for us to say, Lord, Lord. And he says, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and you what? Do not what I say. It is clear that we would be better off if we just followed the Lord, not just in his commandment of bowing our head and our heart and calling upon him for salvation, but in every other area of our life. Once we knew that we had God's word on it, we would be obedient to his command, obedient to his will, obedient, if I can say it like this, to his direction. You know, on a regular basis, as a Christian, if you're yielded to him, the Spirit of God should be working inside of you, directing you on a daily basis. And most of us haven't even attained that level. Most of the time we're quenching the Spirit, not yielded enough to hear his direction and where he's pointing us to go. So how do we get there? What am I supposed to do? Well, first he asked the question, why are you like this? By the way, let me remind you, he loved these people. He was going to die for these folks. He was living for these folks in a sin-cursed world, in a fleshly body that God didn't want to have to be in. He was feeling sleepless nights and pain that God had never felt before because he allowed himself to be wrapped in human flesh. And he turns around and he says, I've done all this. I mean, he hadn't gone to Calvary yet, but still there was a lot that God had done. And he says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? And he says to them, the next verse is powerful. And I think sometimes we just skip by it and we don't understand. But when we think about salvation, we can't get past the word for whosoever. Verse 47, let's everybody in that crowd, scribe, Pharisee, follower of Jesus Christ, committed, surrendered, or someone who is indifferent, he says to them, if you're in this crowd and you're hearing my voice, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. Can I just say, he says 3 things. To become a decisive Christian, number one, you got to come unto Jesus Christ through salvation. It's the simplest thing in all the world, but it is difficult to sometimes humble yourself and ask God to save you, to realize you can't save yourself, you can't work enough, you can't do anything. It's not about you. It's all about putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He says, whosoever cometh to me, and then he says, heareth my sayings. Now, for all of us, one of the reasons we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together is because preaching should be paramount in the church of our living God. But don't forget that this also is called a house of prayer. Preaching should help us pursue prayer. When I come to the place, when I hear preaching, preaching drives me to my knees to get right or to be obedient to the Word of God, not to the preacher, but the book that he's preaching, to the words that God has said, to hear the sayings. He says, and heareth my sayings. Listen, we ought to be in the book. We ought not just hear the sayings of God on Sunday night, and on Wednesday. Throughout the week, we ought to be in the Word of God growing. We write a devotional. I think, you know, it has gone farther than I ever dreamed it could, but it is just trying to help people. The best growth on planet Earth for the Christian is to decide to be in God's Word every day. And just you say, well, you don't have to read. It's like one or two verses. That's better than no verses. A little dose of the Word of God is better than all the poison of the world that's coming after you on a daily basis. You say, preacher, why you been beating that? Because I believe the epidemic in our nation, the reason that Christians are powerless is because they're not in the book and they do not pray. Amen. And for us to really be, I would say this, to be able to serve God at the level we ought to, we have to be students of the book, studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you could take that passage of scripture, which most of us think is only strictly for pastoral majors, but is truly written to every Christian, it would help us with this passage of scripture, because this passage of scripture is that Jesus laid a foundation of salvation for us to build a house on, so that the foundation would be sure and never shaken. By the way, if you build your foundation of salvation on anything but Jesus Christ, you have built it on shifting sand, on sand that will crumble and fall apart. But if you are going to build your life, your Christian life, and your family on the Word of God, on the Lord Jesus, the actual Word made flesh and dwelt among us, His finished work, then all of a sudden now you've got a home that can withstand the weathers, the storms, the hurricanes of this life, the floods that come, the rushing water that beats again. The Bible uses the term, and we're about to read it, vehemently. That sounds like it's violent. And if there's any world that we live in and the day we live in, if the world's going to beat and batter your home and your life and your faith, it's in this age. He says, first of all, you got to accept him. Cometh to me, heareth my sayings, and doeth them. The problem that we have is the disconnect of taking what we hear. I would say this in this terminology, according to the book of Proverbs, the knowledge and wisdom, and then have the understanding by putting it into practice. Most people that when they get gray hair, no hair, or white hair, it's because they have had the wisdom to put that what they heard into practice, and now they understand why they did it. All of the time, listen, I'm just going to tell you, I've done enough building, enough work on buildings, plumbing, all kinds of different things that I didn't always understand why I was doing what I was doing, but I was told how to do it, and I went after it. Sometimes I was given a blueprint, and I didn't understand how it would all work, but I trusted the blueprint, and I put it together and then turned it on. Did it always work? No. But typically, when I went back, it wasn't the engineer's fault. It was the builder. It was the one that put it together. But again, for us as Christians, we have a wrong mindset if we think we're the one building the house. The surrendering to salvation and then hearing his word is then surrendering for him. He says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He's the one still working on me. He's the one still working on you. But we have to surrender every area of our life. When it's a time for obedience, we have to give up us and ours and the things that we want to turn it over to his hands for him to do the work. And if we're not careful, we get into that mindset and you say, preacher, you've been beating this horse. Well, one day you're finally going to turn loose and trust God and by faith let him work in your life. Because His way is not our way. His way's above our ways. His way's a better way. And sometimes we shortcut God because we get a plan. We can take you all the way back to Abraham, and God wanted to do something through his life to bring a miracle seed into existence. And Abraham decided to shortcut God. He hadn't gone through every promise that's in the book in obedience. He just shortcut it. I'll do it myself. I'll get me a son. I'll take me a handmaid and I'll make a son. And the problems that go on in the Middle East today is because of Abraham deciding to shortcut God, trying to fulfill God's plan with good intention. But it wasn't God's way, and I'll tell you first and foremost, it was not God's will. And so many Christians are just like Abraham, and they get themselves in a mess because instead of being decisive, they make their own decisions. Instead of waiting on the blueprint, they run ahead of God and make their own plan. I'll serve God my way, and God, you get on my plan and bless my plan. God, you do it my way. You fix it how I want you to fix it. Can I tell you that your ways aren't God's ways? That He's got a mapped out plan for all of our lives and exactly how. Listen, to do things decently and in order doesn't mean that you come up with the order of service. God has a way that things should be done decently and in order, and we ought to get in His word and find it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That means that for us, we need to study to show ourselves approved so we can do it God's way. That it's built upon His word, not just Him in the foundation, but on His word with every block, every step of the way. It's God working in and through us. You say, preacher, you're making a lot of this. Yeah, let me just say this. The whosoever's is a three-step plan. It don't get much easier than that. Everybody in the place, you first of all need to be come to Jesus and be saved. Second of all, you need to hear His word and then put it into action. Christian, let me encourage you. You've heard so much of God's word. Go back where you got off and go back to hearing the word and doing what God asks you to do. Happiness and joy that was sung about by Mrs. Drake is found in obedience to the word of God. You stepped out by faith and got saved. People that get saved ought to get baptized. It's the first step of faith. It's the first step of obedience to the Lord. And then He will continue to direct you in building this house. Look at what it says in verse 48. He is like a man. This is the man who does what God tells him to do. This is the man that is obedient to God's command. And he is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. In my Bible, there's a little statement I wrote beside it. What a blessing it is to serve God and have waterfront property. Do you know people want to build near a lake because it's worth more? But when the water rises, it makes them worry. Can I just tell you that for all of us, this life, God could have saved us and taken us out of here, but instead He gave us front row seat to this world. And the things that can go terribly wrong, but also people that are floating by, we can reach out to wind and pull them in. It lets the stability of our lives be lifeboats to people who were just washed away in their sins, washed away with the troubles of this world. And oftentimes we think about this life as we're floating downstream with everybody else, or that we're swimming upstream. The Christian life ought to be solid. It ought to be stable. It ought to be faithful. It ought to be continuing to just be faithful and doing what God commanded us to do on a steady basis until He comes to take us home. The foundation of the church is to have stability, to have family and a home and a love for God and a place to serve God together to complete the Great Commission. The home that you have ought to echo that. This place ought to be built with the strong families that have built strong homes upon the word of God. He likens the man to that, the one that is a believer, the one that is a hearer of God's word, and the one that is a doer. all are action words, but most of the action that's taking place is Jesus. It's His word. It's His salvation. It's us doing His word. It's hard for us to think about it being work when we're being obedient. Do you know, as a kid, I used to get upset. When I knew that the trash can was full and I was the one that was supposed to take it out, I didn't have to be asked, did I? I knew that I was the one that had to take it out, but oftentimes, guess what had to happen? And my mom and dad didn't walk by and say, "Could you take the trash out?" My dad would say, "Didn't you hear me when I told you that you are the trash taker outer? The trash is full. I know you know because I watched you see it heaped up and running over, and that ain't a blessing. And you put one more thing on top of it and walked away." You know, for most of us, we have, I mean, things that God asks us to do and things that God wants us. And a lot of times our lives are building up and overflowing with things and problems that should not be there because we have not been obedient to God's command. We could have taken that trash out a long time ago if we were decisive Christians. The word decisive means this. I want you to see this. Settling an issue. Could you settle the issue tonight that you can trust God and His word and that whatever He says that you will be obedient to it? And I'll just say this. You know that I settled a long time ago that I would do when I was a boy what my dad said because I didn't like what happened if I didn't. Now, my dad would chastise me. But can I tell you that you say, well, God will chastise you. Not just that, but a lot of times the things my dad taught me were to protect me. They were to keep me from hurting myself. There were things, not only things he made me do that I felt were work, but there were things my dad taught me of where I was supposed to stand when we were working together. And I didn't think until I was older when I taught my boys that. I've told the story before, but I chopped wood. Now, we lived in the north, and we chopped wood for a reason. That was because we burned it to stay warm. And I liked it. Boy, the snow on the ground, and I would split the logs down so that I still had to split them up a little bit smaller so I could get that fresh side and fresh cut of the wood. And it was good for my boys. I didn't want to keep a big old pile of it in the house. And so I took three little boys that ain't so little anymore, and they would come and stand behind me, and I'd swing the axe and I'd split it up. And they'd go pick that up and they'd take it in the house to mama and they'd pile it up beside the stove. And Caleb is my youngest son, and he liked to watch me split the wood. The other boys knew better than to stand anywhere near it. And they stayed behind me. And Caleb would inch around. And he came back after a couple loads, and I was splitting about the third one, and he stood real close to the side. Now, I knew sometimes when I split that thing, that wood would go flying every direction. I said, "Boy, you need to back up, son." He backed up a little bit. I said, "No, son, you need to get back farther. You're still too close." And he went clean on the other side of the driveway. I said, I don't know. I think you're still, you know." But, I mean, he went, and I swung and hit that wood. And, I mean, I'm not saying it was God's will or anything, but he was standing a good piece off, and a chunk come right off of that. And crossed, you know, that was its sound effect. Everybody can see it now, right? And struck him right in the forehead and laid him out in the yard. You say, what did he learn from that? To stand where Dad told him to stand. Because he's standing where he wanted to. And finally, I kept telling him to move. And I kept telling him to move. And finally, I gave in to what he wanted. Instead of him being where I told him he would be protected behind me. And then I split that wood. And that piece of wood went and got him. Now, had he been closer, it could have killed him. But that, it slowed it down a little bit. Hey, you say, "Preacher, why are you getting at that?" Because every one of us, listen, every one of us can relate it to our Christian life and places God told us to be, and we weren't there when it was come time, and it was dangerous for us. It hurt us. It knocked us back in the Christian life instead of building us up. And if we're not careful, instead of being doers of the word of God, we will be hearers only. And the Lord says, "Why call you me, Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say?" Tonight, as a Christian, why don't you hear the good word of God and put it into action? Be decisive. Settle the issue in your life. This is the second part of the definition, not only to be decisive, settling an issue, but producing a definite result. Do you know that if you're decisively obedient to the Word of God is perfect, and it will produce a definite result if you're obedient to it. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank in heaven that God, listen, you do what God asks you to do, and it will, listen, every time it's always going to be right. Will it always be comfortable? Absolutely not. Will it always be easy? No. Sometimes doing the things that we don't want to are difficult. But why do we do them? Because there's a definite result on the other side. I know that this is going to work every time. You say, preacher, why should I be obedient to the Word of God? Because God loves you. And more than this, preacher, if I could show you my heart, you would know that more than anything tonight, my heart is for my people, that I want you to be obedient to the Word of God. But if I love you like that, and I want you to do what God wants you to do, how much does God love you? How much did it break his heart as he wrote down the things that he knew that you should know and do, and then he looked through the annals of time and watched us be disobedient to those words? I don't have that ability. I'm only somebody that can warn and know that I can look in the past and see people who are not obedient to the Word of God and how it hurt them, how it derailed them, and how many of them, because they got obedient, they got right with God, they walked with him again, that they got back in and got healed up and got healthy in the Word of God. But God can see the end to the beginning. He can see the whole thing. And tonight, from his Word, he reminds us again. We always called it being the wise man. He built on the rock. And the foolish man built on the sand. Listen, I really believe this. Most Christians are somewhere in between. They lay a good foundation, and they try to weather the storm holding on to the foundation. They don't ever let God. They're not continually obedient to his Word. Listen, I don't know about you, but when a hurricane comes, I'm so glad that there's a roof on the house. I'm so glad there's walls and doors and windows, and God has finished a work at where I have my house. Listen, you think as a Christian that you're prepared to weather the storms of this life if all you have is a foundation? We ought to let God do his work in us. We ought to let him build up a safety. He says that he is our buckler, our shield, that he's our strong tower throughout the Word of God. Why don't we let him build that in our lives? Build that for our homes. Let him build that for our lives and our service. We ought to come to the place where we decide, God, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. There's no more being indecisive. I'm going to decide to follow Jesus and do it his way and in his will, no matter how difficult it, no matter how much pushback that I get. Tonight, listen, if you're here and you don't know Christ, the first thing is to come unto Jesus Christ. That's what it says. To be a decisive Christian, you have to whosoever cometh to me. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It don't matter what you've done. Jesus paid for it on Calvary. Whosoever. I'm so glad that there are people in this life who think that they're too bad of a whosoever, but I can take them to the book. And I can show them not just the whosoever's, but I can say, God used Moses and saved him, and he was a murderer. Jacob was a liar and a cheat. God used him and saved him. Folks, this whole book is full of people who are imperfect that God loved, used, and saved, and you are no different. If you're here tonight without Christ, he'll save you. He came from heaven and died on Calvary to pay your sin debt just like he came to pay mine. And if you will humble yourself and come to Christ tonight, like he says in the scripture, he'll save you. If you're a Christian, I pray you'll do this. Take the next step. Hear the Word of God. And then find, listen, instead of hanging in the place where I know what to do, but I'm not sure if I should do it, be a decisive Christian. Take the step of faith and do what God's asked you to do tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet tonight? The musicians are coming. As people stand to their feet, Christians, let's step out and do business with God. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, would you step out and meet me in the front? They're going to begin to sing, but let me take the Bible and show you how to be saved tonight. Don't leave here without doing exactly what God wants you to do according to his Word. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
He Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender humbly at His feet, I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Meant what you were singing tonight. Let me encourage you this. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you didn't make your way, we invited you to come and receive Christ. Maybe you didn't do that. Would you meet us right after the service, right down here in front? Love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home for a Bible reason. We have a couple come that have received Christ, Joseph and Emmanuel. If you guys will come stand right here and look at all these folks out here in the crowd. They've been saved, and they want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and join the church. How many would welcome them in with a right hand of fellowship? Amen. So, Carrie, you guys go right with Brother Betancourt. He's going to take you back. And Brother Bert, you guys may be seated. We're going to go ahead and have you sing. And Brother Bert has a song tonight about being decisive.
I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. We could sing that one, okay? But we might be singing that through about 8 times until they get ready back there. But the one I have picked out is 353. He could have called 10,000 angels, but He died alone for you and me. I'm so glad about that. 353 on the first verse. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where He prayed. They led Him through the street in fame. They spat upon the Savior, pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify Him, He's to blame." His holy name. All alone He suffered everything. He could have called 10,000. when they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died
upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. I do baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
Manuel, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I do baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand together. Amen. It's Wednesday night, looking forward to it. Takes three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and someone in on Saturday. That's four. You could add that in, it'd be even better. Let's pray together tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for, Lord, just blessing us with the baptisms tonight. I pray you be with both of these young men, Lord, that you'd strengthen them as they follow your commands. Lord, help us each one to be doers of the words and not hearers only, Lord. But we pray, God, to help us be followers of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's it, George.